We're talking Flock, the name of the book by author Tom Roy. When we sat down and decided we were going to do this podcast, we decided that we weren't going to do it as a sales pitch. We were going to do it with vulnerability, transparency, and we were going to just be very, very honest. We talked about the heartbreaking times. We touched on them just a little bit. But clearly, over the course of years of ministry, you've had a lot of relationships. Let's just start there. Relationships that broke your heart. People that were well-intentioned but didn't quite get there. Let's talk about people that maybe were teammates or partners in ministries or people that just never came around, or maybe you didn't come around.
Yeah, and I'm glad to talk about the situations but not the people because I care about them. I'm sure some of the situations I was at fault rather than them. But you cannot control what other people say. And as a person that likes to be liked, that's a big principle to understand. So let me give you just a couple of examples. First of all, there was a situation where I was dealing with a person, and the rest of my flock watched me deal with them. And what happened was I gave more time to the terrorist than to those who were saluting the flag. And I look back at that, and I guess the only way I could have learned it was that I cared. It's kind of like the scripture talks about if the one sheep wanders, you know, the shepherd will go after him. Well, I kept going after and going after and going after, and this sheep kept walking away. And instead of breaking its leg, I kept going after. And what happened is I lost the flock, at least at some level, not at all levels, but I lost the confidence of the others because all of a sudden I wasn't there for them. I was consumed with the one sheep rather than saying, you know, you see the picture of Jesus carrying a little lamb over his shoulders, and some say, yeah, they broke, he had to break its leg so it wouldn't run away again, and he was carrying it. Now, I don't know if that's apocryphal, but sometimes you got to break legs. And one of my relational problems as I look back over the 50 years was I kept chasing and chasing till the point where I ran away from those who cared. And so as a leader, I think that's a huge tension and fine line. It's much easier to say, you're done, get out of here. Okay, that's not how I ran my leadership. I tried to care, and I think it's sometimes I overcared and it hurt. Not me, but the other sheep that were watching, because I was no longer feeding them. So that would be one generic situation. One that comes to mind right away is when I talked earlier about artificial significance. I was so involved with travel. I was all over the world, 300 plus days a year traveling to some exotic places. And it got to the point where rather than even praying about it or asking if I could from my family, I did it. And so there was one particular situation where I was really, I was hot. I was traveling different places of the world that no one had ever been with baseball and with the gospel. I had been offered a pitching coach job, and I was in competition with a Hall of Fame pitcher in another country to be their pitching coach. I had committed to go to that country for a week after I was done with this trip and after I was done with another trip and after I was done. And all of a sudden, my schedule was backed up week after week after week after week. And I was in Bulgaria. And I got to my room and went to bed. And about an hour later, I woke up and it was pitch black in the room. There was no electricity, which is kind of scary anyway. And I literally started hearing voices about the fact that my family was being butchered while I was over there, that I was all kinds of horrible things. And I was scared to the point where I went out of my room and knocked on the door of some other room where I heard persons talking. They were having a party. If they opened their door and they looked at me like, what the heck? They must have thought, who is this? I didn't speak Russian and they didn't speak English, and we just stared at each other, but they had a light on, so that was good. I went back to the room, didn't sleep all night. Obviously, the next day was a tough day. I did baseball clinics in the rain, came back. I knew I was going to fall asleep. Same thing the next day. 1 a.m., I was wide awake, and I had all this accusation coming after me. Third day, the same thing. And finally, I had to break. I realized in that context the mistake I had made. I had left my family going after a dream. And what was really good became maybe an idol, but at least something that brought satisfaction to me. And it was amazing, Dean, when I confessed that to God, it kind of broke. He had to take me to Bulgaria to show me my error. And so I meet with the guy that's the head of the Bulgarian Baseball Association, and I say, I've never done this before, but I have to go home. He goes, what? I still had a week to go there. And I said, no, you know, you're not going to understand it, but I've made a wrong decision. And he could see in my eyes, and he says, well, there's not another flight out of here for 3 days. And I said, oh, man. And there was a younger kid there on a bicycle that drove up. And he said, I'll go to the airport and see. Now, again, we're in Bulgaria a number of years ago. He comes back maybe an hour later. He said, it's crazy, but there's a plane leaving in 2 hours for New York. They got me on that plane. I landed in New York, didn't know where I was going to stay. Somehow I got in a cab. Somehow I paid way too much money to stay in a dumpy hotel. I got in there, I called my wife, and I broke down and cried like a baby for probably 15 minutes. And she was scared now, like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And I had to share with her, I made a mistake. I was chasing after this. And I knew, and I called that country, and I said, I'm out of the running. I need to be home. And so I think sometimes we can get caught up in the thrill of the adventure of what's going on and not ask God, what should I do? I want to share one other story. My daughter, my oldest daughter in particular, Amy, awesome, loves Jesus with all her heart. She was a young girl. The board had allowed me to take our daughters to various countries during their high school years. One year I took Amy, for example, to China. Can't remember Lindsay. And so your freshman year, sophomore, junior, senior year, take them out. I was with Amy actually in British Columbia doing a camp, and Amy came along with me, and she became very obstinate. And that wasn't Amy. And being the man that I was, I didn't realize she was looking for some affection, some care. You know, I was going there saying, you're going to see what I do for a living. That was my thought. I didn't say that to her. And what she realized in her little heart, and she was young, I think she may have been a freshman at the time, or maybe even younger, because sometimes we'd take the kids to British Columbia with us, was that she wanted her daddy. And I remember walking in the big park there in downtown Vancouver and finally saying, what the heck is going on? And we sat on that bench and we had it out. And it was very hard, and it was very real, and it was awesome. It was awesome. And Amy loves Jesus with all her heart. So sometimes my point being, as a shepherd coach, as a shepherd leader, we sometimes get too excited about the promised land and do forget the sheep. And so I don't care who we are, we have to stay on our knees and look left, right, behind, up, and down to see not only who are we influencing when the lights are on, but who are we influencing where we're in the silence of our home, when we're in the confines of people that are really close to us, who will say, like my wife, no, no, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. And then I took advantage of it. So those are some real stories, Dean, that I'm not proud of, but they really helped me empathize with others and then give caution to other men and women that can get excited about a very exciting dream that even God would give them. We don't walk through life, as I said earlier, without scars. And those are three of them in my life.
We are going to take a break. We will be back. We're going deep inside, up close and personal, authentic conversation with author Tom Roy of Shepherd Coach Network and the book Flock. We'll be back right after this.
This is Tom Roy. Maybe you have a group that you think would like to have books, and rather than order one at a time through Amazon, be in touch at troy@upi.org and I can get you an author's pricing of orders of 10 books or more. That's Troy, T-R-O-Y, at upi.org for orders of 10 books or more.
We continue our discussion with author Tom Roy of Flock and the book Shepherd Coach from the Shepherd Coach Network. We continue our discussion on the difficult side of leadership, the heartbreaking, the painful side of being the one in charge. Being a leader also is a case of going with your gut and trusting that you have the right people around you, trusting that you've made the right decision. Do you recall times, and I know the answer, but I'm still going to ask you, do you recall times when you thought that this person was the right choice and you had to say goodbye to them, or maybe they said, oh no, you're not doing right here, and they challenged you?
Yes, there have been those occasions. You know, one of the things that was an insulation for me was the board of directors. And as a non-for-profit, we had to have a board of directors. Even if you don't have a board of directors, whoever is listening to this, you need to have what Clint Hurdle calls his Mount Rushmore. Four people that you can go to say, am I doing this right? What's going on here? There was a situation that we had in ministry where it was told to me by a board member, such and such is going on, and I had to confront it a couple times and finally had to make a decision that this person needed to step away for a while. And that was very hard. And sure enough, after that while, the person left. And there was not a peaceful hug. It was just like, I'm out of here. And that that cavern, if you will, was about 7 years wide until it got resolved. And it was another man in ministry who saw what was going on and said, we need to have a meeting. And I flew to another city, and the three of us met, and we hugged it out. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't all hugs. It was when you first walk in the meeting on something like that, and some of you listening to this and may have been in it, you're doing the dance. You're walking around and you're saying the things and you're doing the steps that you think are supposed to happen. And then the question comes that you didn't want to come by a person in the room, and you have to answer it honestly. And you slug it out with your pride, and you deal with a lot of stuff in your own head, and you determine what battles you want to fight. And oh, I guess I was wrong there. But it ended up, we hugged it out. And tremendous lesson. In retrospect, pride got in the way, and so I'm guessing, I don't know exactly, 7 years of not having relationship, but to the glory of God, it's been repaired. So we've talked about it during this podcast two or three times. It can get ugly out there. And it's not just ugly in the context of what you're doing, it's in the context of relationships from those that you care about the most.
Between the lines of that story, that last story of the 7 years of the empty relationship, the broken relationship, the no relationship, that tells me that a leader is committed to leadership not just for their organization or necessarily their flock, but they see the big picture and they have to do the right thing for that other person, or the right thing to make things right with themselves. It's so easy, it would seem, okay, that person was just wrong, I'm right, or gosh, it's been so long, I don't need to deal with it now.
It's almost been overstated, but often we take the poison and hope the other person dies. In other words, we're thinking about it all the time, and I know that was my case. It would come up all the time. What if I meet this person? What if this happens? What if that? All the what ifs, right? And I was dying on the inside. And so I'm thankful for a third party that decided to have that meeting to be able to talk it through, if you will.
Being a leader also says, say no to a dream, a project that you were sure that God was in it, or you were sure that there is no way that this is going to fail. How devastating is that? Talk about the heartache there.
Often leaders have a temperament that is one that says, I'm ready to go. And I have been guilty of ready, shoot, aim. And so I've made commitments, decisions without praying, without thinking, thinking I was bigger than or could walk my way through it, and then only have to back out of it. And that is very, very humbling when you realize, man, I have done this in my flesh. I have seen this is a step to manipulate a situation to become that thief that says, I'm going to gain notoriety and or power as a result of making that decision. So of course I'll do that, only to come back and pray about it and go, wait a minute, what are my motives? What is my purpose statement? What is my vision? What about my family? And so I think to be true to the Holy Spirit, you have to go back and ask for forgiveness and say, I blew it. And then you hope that there's not a lot of collateral damage, not only in the area that you said you were going to help, but the people that were watching you. And so it's sobering to say, my yes needs to be my yes. So before I make a decision, I need to count the cost. I need to pray, because one way or the other, I'm going to confront something. It's either the decision I made to go or the decision I make to say I was wrong and I can't go. And I guess I'd rather do the first, because the second one's pretty humbling.
Silly question. Almost basic question. At the risk of being rhetorical, when do you know when you should pray before you start something?
Always. Now, that doesn't happen, but always. Sometimes you don't have a chance. You know, we talked about it earlier. You got to make a gut decision. Hopefully that's based on experience and the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And you know, the Bible doesn't talk about every decision you have to make. Some of them you just have to make. But I'll tell you this, Dean, if I could have a bunch of do-overs, and I can't think of specifics right now, but I'm sure there'll be some in the days ahead, I need to step back before I come back. I have to step back from the situation. I need to pray, and maybe God will say nothing. And those listening may not understand what I just said. God does not audibly say, Tom, do this. But there's a sense based on the Word of God and the Spirit of God and your current circumstances that He gives you a peace or a lack of peace. Yeah, that's how it works. And so the answer is what I said. Every time I wish I pray before I make a move, a decision, and have to pay the consequences of the thrill.
Is that the biggest regret of your ministry career, is not listening, not seeking God first?
I don't know if it's the biggest. I have, you know, not dwelt on a lot of the negative. I like to think of the extreme honor it was to be called a shepherd, the extreme honor it was to do what I did, the extreme honor to meet the people. And so maybe your question will be answered in a few more years as I've slowed down. But generically, yeah, I think as a believer, when we run in our own strength, that has to be, if not the biggest, one of the largest mistakes we make.
Leaders are largely judged by the action, by the decisiveness, the magnitude of the things that they've built, the legacy that they leave behind. Yet, you don't get there without reflection. You don't get there unless you stop and you pause and you say, what do I have to do? And you have to do this an awful lot.
You know, I talk about prayer. Some people who are not followers of Christ would say reflection is important. I just have to say this, that it's a moment by moment, day by day, because I'm not done yet. You know, I retired from UPI at age 69, but I haven't retired from my purpose. So there's probably going to be other things that if we did this podcast at the very end of my life that I would be able to say, here are regrets or here are things I needed to do or should have done. But I don't think that unless it's an immediate decision that has to be made, that reflection shouldn't be a part of it. And not only reflection like, oh, remember the good old days, but what have I learned as a result of my mistakes and what has worked? And that doesn't mean it's going to be the same now, because you have to make your decisions based on the flock that you have and the culture that you're in and the circumstances you find yourself in.
The words and wisdom of author and speaker Tom Roy of the Shepherd Coach Network. Check back for new podcasts and other resources as you seek to lead your flock.
This is Tom Roy, and you kind of know my heart now. You've heard my journey. You've understood my decision-making and my hopeful reliance upon God. But I also talked about having others in your life. I would like to make myself available. I have a division of Shepherd Coach that is called to mentor. As an older man, the scripture says to help those and teach those that are younger. Maybe you've listened to these and you've said, I trust Tom Roy. Be in touch. Maybe I can help you.